as I understand it, the meatpacking industry in general has a long and somewhat sordid relationship with immigrants and immigrant workers. Is that an accurate summation to begin with, and why Case Farms in particular?
For a long period of time, I mean, going back 100 years, meatpacking plants, meat and poultry plants have relied on kind of the lowest rung on the economic ladder, you know, from immigrants during the jungle to rural white and African American workers, then, you know, Latino immigrants and now refugees. So what drew my attention to Case Farms is knowing that I wanted to dig into this question of immigration status being used to retaliate against workers. I called about 150 different people, immigrant advocates, attorneys, migration experts, looking for examples of things they might have heard or and things like that. And at the same time, I also heard from an attorney who says that every time he goes back to his village in Mexico, the only people that are left are women with small children, the elderly, and America's injured workers. Hmm. So I kind of thought, well, maybe I can merge these two ideas together and find a place or a plant that draws people from you know, one small community in Mexico or Central America. And while I was reporting, someone mentioned a poultry plant in Ohio where a lot of workers come from, a town called Aguacatan in Guatemala. And when I heard the name, I said, wait a minute, I've heard of that before. And I searched my notes and I saw that I'd interviewed somebody else who said there's a poultry plant that does this in Morganton, North Carolina, and the workers come from Aguacatan. And when I got the name of the company, I searched and I found I had three more tips about Case Farms and different either tips about safety problems or situations and how they treat immigrant workers.
Two paths I wanted to ask you about on that. One is that this relationship with this particular village, how did that come to be? And the other thing is just what were you finding about Case's safety record compared to others in the same industry? So let's take the first one first. How did this relationship develop?
So back in 1989, Case Farms Human Resources Manager drove a van down to Indiantown, Florida, where a lot of refugees from the Guatemalan Civil War had settled. He told them about the chicken plant in Morganton, North Carolina, Case Farms, and recruited them. And very soon, vans were running back and forth between Florida and North Carolina, bringing in, you know, new waves of fresh recruits. You know, a few years later, there was another recruiting effort in Fort Myers, Florida, where they brought three more people who happened to also be from a different village in Aguacatan, and they came to live in Ohio and working at the plant in Winesburg, Ohio. And so with these streams of workers, people started coming directly from Guatemala, knowing they were going to go either to Ohio or North Carolina to go work at Case Farms, or knew there were some opportunities in those areas. And I also met a pastor in the New Philadelphia, Dover area in Ohio, who told me that he had worked at the Morganton Case Farms plant and had come to Ohio. And when the company found out about that, they gave him a van and paid him to bring about 100 workers from the Morganton plant to go work at the plant in Winesburg. So that's how this relationship from this, all these people who had come from this one town with, you know, it has several villages around it, but one town, Aguacatan, ended up forming the backbone of Case Farms' workforce.
So what you're talking about is a very abrupt influx, relatively abrupt influx of immigrants, many undocumented, into a community that, for those who don't know it, is Amish country, one of the largest Amish communities in the country.
Right, both in North Carolina and Ohio. Within a few years, these communities saw hundreds, if not thousands, of immigrants come into the community. And these were areas that had never before seen, you know, had a large population of Hispanic immigrants. And when Case Farms bought the plant in Winesburg, Ohio, the workers were primarily young Amish women and Mennonites. But as the company bought the plant and expanded it, they needed more workers, and they started looking at, you know, the workers from Canton and Akron and Worcester. This was the early 90s, so they were seeing a decline in the rubber and steel industries, and so there's a lot of people out of work. and they started recruiting heavily from those areas. But no one would stay very long. The turnover was very high, and so they were looking for a more stable workforce, which led them to go out and try to recruit Hispanics.
Which gets us to the point of your story about the treatment of workers and safety and health violations that you found, that you witnessed, had people tell you about, and also found in documents.
Case Farms has been fined over $2 million from OSHA, which is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. We took a look to see how it compared to the rest of the poultry processing industry and found that Case Farms is really off the charts. When we started to track the violations, the only one who had more violations than Case Farms was Tyson Foods. But Tyson Foods has about 100,000 employees, where Case Farms has 3,200 employees. So a huge difference, and according to OSHA, much more dangerous than the rest of the industry.
Beyond the numbers of violations, can you outline some of the ones you found, some of the types of violations, and and what it did to human beings?
We profile a young Guatemalan immigrant named Osiel Lopez Perez, who was 16 years old when he started working for Case Farms sanitation contractor at the plant in Canton. And he was a couple weeks past his 17th birthday when he was cleaning a machine called a liver giblet chiller. This is basically looks like a bathtub, and it cools the chicken down from when it comes into the plant to, you know, where it needs to be refrigerated and preserved. And so he was finished cleaning this, and he goes up to turn off the valve, the water valve over the machine. And because he said the plant didn't have enough ladders to go around, he climbed up on the machine and his foot slipped. As he was coming out, his foot slipped and the machine automatically turned on, grabbed his foot and twisted it until it essentially snapped at the knee and his leg had to be amputated. That's one type of injury. The other thing that's very common are finger amputations. One of the things that led workers to protest at the plant in Winesburg was a process in which they would stack three chicken wings on top of each other and run them through a spinning saw. And at times the bones would be, you know, the chicken would be broken and the bones would stick out and it would get caught in the workers' gloves. And it would, you know, there were several workers who had their hands dragged through these blades over the years and, you know, lost fingers because of it. So those are the types of injuries that occur in addition to just sort of the repetitive motion injuries like carpal tunnel and conditions like that. A lot of workers told me that they have pain in their hands. People who left there 10 years ago still having pain in their hands.
You also mentioned the housing conditions, housing provided or at least expedited by Case for the workers that a judge, among others, found substandard.
Yeah, this was in the early years of Case when they were starting to bring in Latino immigrants. They recruited a group of Texas farm workers, and what the judge found was that the workers were packed into these small houses that had about 20 other people living in them. It was the middle of winter, and the houses had no heat, furniture, or blankets. One worker said his house didn't even have any water, so he had to go outside and get some snow and melt it in order to flush the toilet. When they would go to work in the mornings, a van would arrive, and it was so dilapidated it didn't have any seats. It had wooden planks resting on cinder blocks, and there were holes in the floor, so the workers would be breathing in these exhaust fumes, and it would be freezing inside the van as they were going to work.
The company has said in the past that it had no idea that it was employing undocumented workers, and that when it finds out somebody is illegal, they get rid of them. But your article drew how that works in the company's favor to keep unions down and other issues from arising, workplace issues from arising, to have people who fear they could be deported at any moment, correct?
Right. So several times over the course of Case Farms' history, these workers who one would think would be very fearful have managed to come together and protest conditions. You know, 100 people, 200 people walking out of the plant to go on strike or protest conditions at the plant. But almost every time that the workers have managed to do that, Case Farms quickly followed with a check of paperwork, basically an investigation into the immigration background statuses of the workers. And there were several times where either union leaders were fired, you know, that the workers who had tried to organize the protest were fired for immigration status shortly afterwards, or there was sort of a mass paper check that 100 workers sort of lost their jobs as a result of those checks. You know, I talked to people, they kind of compared this to, you know, that scene in the movie Casablanca where where the agent says, hey, I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in this establishment. Many workers I spoke to said that there was kind of an unwritten policy that if their paperwork came back bad or there was child support being taken out by the real person whose ID they were using, they could just go and change their name and come back to work under a different identity. One worker I spoke to said that he had worked at the plant under four different names. This was in North Carolina. And at least three times over the course of Case Farms history, some sort of law enforcement activity has caused workers to flee the plant, creating an immigration raid. But it doesn't appear that that set off any red flags among Case Farms managers that they should do a normal audit. It was only when the workers complained that those things took place. One example of this was in Winesburg shortly after 9/11. There was some investigation where it turned out to be completely bogus, but they had arrested some suspects that had ties to Case Farms, and they went and interviewed people at Case Farms, and according to reports, about 100 workers fled the plant and hid in the cornfields around Winesburg until someone said, no, no, we're not here for you. We're not here doing an immigration raid. We're here about these terrorism suspects, and you can all go back to work. So even though that occurred, it doesn't appear that that set off any red flags that this should be looked at until the workers complained.
Wasn't there an involvement of a Philadelphia firm that was handling a lot of the visas at that point?
There was a Philadelphia staffing firm that was supplying workers, undocumented workers, to firms across Ohio. Case Farms was their biggest customer. The human resources manager at Case Farms at the time was indicted in that case. Ultimately, he pled guilty to concealing a material fact. Though Case Farms, I think prosecutors decided did not have enough knowledge for them to be held responsible.
I spent a lot of time traveling through the parts of Ohio that went very heavily for Donald Trump last fall. And the very case that you lay out is what they would hold up as evidence of the reason that we need to build the wall and we need to stop illegal or undocumented immigrants from coming into the country, because it means that workplace standards are not kept, that pay is not up. Do you see your story as bolstering that case?
Well, certainly improving the conditions at the plants. People always say that these are jobs that Americans won't do. But, you know, what I found in my reporting, that these are basically companies have created conditions that Americans won't accept. So when Americans are hired to do these jobs, they don't last very long because they won't put up with working in a very cold environment, making 15,000 cuts to chicken a day for $9 an hour. You know, the line speeds would have to be less. The pay would have to be better. So, I mean, so it's just a school of thought, of course, right? You know, people on the right who would like to see immigration curtailed and some sort of enforcement that would force companies to not rely on this kind of workforce. But the second thing, you know, the people on the left would say is that one solution would be to create some sort of way for these workers to work here legally. And that's, companies, especially in the meatpacking and poultry industry, say that as well, that without this stream of workers, there would be a labor shortage and increases in food prices. So if people didn't fear complaining, if people couldn't simply be thrown away if they did complain or get injured, that it would improve the working conditions, not just for immigrants, but for all Americans. So those are the two different views on this. And it's unclear what the Trump administration will do. During the Obama administration, ICE signed a memorandum of understanding, an agreement with the Department of Labor that they would not go in and conduct raids or investigate while there was a labor dispute going on. And so immigrant advocates fear that the Trump administration will simply scrap that, and that would allow companies to simply call ICE anytime workers complain. So that's sort of the question up in the air right now about how the Trump administration will deal with immigration at the work site.